Hello, everybody. This is John Hughes from Created by Mr. Hughes. I'm here to read you my latest post, which is Principle TLC, which stands for Teachers, Learning, and Culture. And today we're going to be focusing on the culture part of that. If you do visit the website, or if you're here at the blog post, you can download a free organizer as well that will help you at one point in this post to kind of reflect on the culture of your school that you currently have, and then how to maybe look for a way to kind of boost that culture at your school. So I'm going to go ahead and get started with this. And when you hear Principal TLC, it might bring to mind a principal who's in need of some help and direction. And while that is a possible topic for a future post, today, however, we're going to be addressing Principal TLC as an acronym to help principals focus on the key components of building a successful school. And those, the TLC stands for Teachers, Learning, and Culture. These three components should drive everything an administrator does. Now you might be saying, but John, you left out the key piece of any school because the children. Doesn't the C in TLC stand for children? And actually, if you look at the three pieces carefully, you'll see that they actually all support or are in support of children and students. So think of a three-legged stool. The three legs are required to support the seat. If one piece is missing, then the stool will fall over. And there is a graphic here that shows the students as the chair of a stool and then the three legs of the stool as well. So I'm going to focus the remainder of this post on the C part or culture of a school. I will be addressing the teachers and the learning components of TLC as well in future posts. And I will also be revisiting these topics multiple times. I don't feel like you can post once about the culture of a school and have said everything that needs to be said about having a successful culture. So culture, though, if you think about that, culture is really a loaded word, because when you're talking about the culture in relation to a school system, you get many different responses, ranging from how individuals feel in the building, that's the culture, to faculty, staff, and student morale. So morale becomes a big component of that. And while I don't believe any of them are wrong, I don't think any of those are wrong answers for culture, I do think there needs to be a consensus on what it's going to mean for the sake of our discussion here. So when I say the word culture, I think we all need to know what the definition is for that. So for our purposes here today, we're going to define culture as the attitudes, beliefs, and traditions and actions which are foundational in a school system and also create feelings of being supported and successful. And I'm going to read that again because that's kind of a wordy definition. The attitudes, beliefs, traditions, and actions which are foundational in a school system and also create feelings of being supported and successful. So one might wonder how a school culture can have such a strong impact on student achievement. I want you to consider the following stories about Billy and James. And I made these students are not real students, but they are based on situations that I kind of encountered in different buildings that I've been in. So you have Billy, a fifth grader who attends an elementary school each day. When he enters the building, he's greeted by his teacher, Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jones dresses in professional dress appropriate for an elementary school. So in other words, she's not wearing Levi's every day. She understands how important it is to not come off as casual or laid back in appearance. In the hallways, on the playground, and in class, he understands that there are rules that must be followed. Despite several kids who will sometimes tease him, Billy enjoys playing outside. Billy also sees his teachers visiting in the hallways and enjoys having the principal come to his classroom and also visiting on the playground and in the lunchroom. Billy's parents enjoy attending parent conferences. They know that they are welcome to ask questions about the curriculum and Billy's learning and behavior. Any issues are addressed and success praised. Billy feels safe at school and knows that he can succeed. And while that feels like the dream school that everyone talks about, that utopia school that no one thinks exists, that is a school that I taught in just like that, and that was how it was. Now let's contrast that with our story of James. James, also a fifth grader, attends a different elementary school in the same part of town. The socioeconomic statuses and student populations are comparable. So I don't want you to think, well, that's because he's in a low economic school or whatever. So their schools are comparable. James comes to school most days. His teacher, Mrs. Williams, props the door open so the students can enter when the bell rings and take their seats. Mrs. Williams is usually late to class each day and is always wearing blue jeans and a t-shirt. The kids tend to treat her as, quote, one of the gang, which leads to them being disrespectful more often than not. The hallways of the school are crazy, kids running up and down the hallway and teachers and staff yelling at students to behave. James rarely sees teachers talking or interacting at all unless it's quietly whispering amongst each other regarding the latest problem, student, or teacher drama. Most of the time they stay in their own classrooms with their doors shut. As for the principal, the only time James gets to see the principal is when James is in trouble. As far as James' parents are concerned, they rarely attend conferences because they tire of hearing about all the issues that the teacher feels James has without hearing much praise or ideas to help them support him better. James doesn't really like school and looks for any excuse to miss it. So if we talk about these two students, what's different about James and Billy's schools? And how do those differences affect the culture of each school? I'm certain we've taught in or led schools just like those that James and Billy attend. If not, we most certainly have heard stories of such schools, and their cultures have been determined by their leaders. One is supportive and uplifting, the other is self-serving and destructive. Now you might say, but John, it's just the way that we've done things. Change is hard, and my teachers are already overloaded with state and local mandates. They just don't have time for all this quote-unquote feelings stuff. Change, which I debated about having as the C in the TLC for quite some time, I want you to know, is hard. A school's culture isn't built in a day. So don't feel bad, neither was Rome. I mean, but you can change your school culture starting today. It has to be a process, and it will be a process. And it's a little change here and a little change there. And then you might be thinking, but John, our school has a great culture and we're good to go. Thanks, though. That is awesome. You're so stinking lucky, and you probably are actively involved as a leader. However, I want you to think about this. We can always strengthen and improve the quality of our school culture. So you can't ever get to a point where you say, you know what, I'm done. My culture's perfect. Drop the mic, you know, mic drop, I'm outie. That's not how it works. It's time to focus on that principal T in TLC. So let's talk about some great ways to get started. Print out the principal TLC organizer that is in my blog post. You just click on the picture. It's two sheets that are pretty simplistic. I didn't want any, it doesn't need to be complex to be useful. I've learned that. My mother told me to kiss it, which is keep it simple, stupid, is what she used to not call me, but tell me. We used to laugh about that. But keep it simple. That's the whole point of that. So if you do that, I want you to get your worksheet organizers in front of you and take a few minutes to complete the evaluation for your school's culture. Now, if you don't have access to that right away, I'm going to just kind of go through some of these questions that will probably that appear on this worksheet so that you can kind of have an idea of what you would be facing. So if you're listening to this and you want to do this a little bit later, this will give you a chance to download those worksheets and then take a few minutes when you get some time and be able to go through them and answer the questions. But I'm just going to go over some of those questions for you that are on this organizer. So the first thing you have to do is evaluate the school's culture. And the first thing you have to do is in exactly 12 words describe your school's culture. You can't use less or more. It has to be exactly 12. Then you're going to be thinking about what would the following group say is the best thing about your school, is it? So you're going to ask, think, what would parents say is the best thing about your school? What would the teacher say is the best thing about your school? And then what are the students going to say is the best thing about your school? Next, you're going to think about what the parents, teachers, and students would say is the worst thing about your school. And I debated where using a different word, but why use different words? Why beat around the bush? Let's be honest here. What's the best and worst things about your school? Then it's going to ask you to think about what is the last change you implemented at your school and how was it received and why was it received that way? If there was tons of pushback, why was it received that way? And then I want you to think about this. What was the purpose of the change? Is it a passing fad that you heard was good at the last leadership conference you were at and you didn't really put a lot of time and study into promoting it? Or was it something that was mandated by the district or whatever the cause you think about? And then was the purpose communicated clearly to those that it affected? So if teachers had to pick up an extra duty or an extra work assignment, did you communicate that to them clearly? Or whatever change was made, was it communicated? And then explain that thinking. So that's kind of the evaluating your school for the culture, okay? So as you do that, you'll come back. And then, you know, I want you to think about, how was that? Did you find anything in your reflection that was eye-opening or revealing? I know when I thought through these questions for my own school, because I've been making lots of changes, there's tons of eye-opening and revealing thoughts, because what I think I've communicated clearly, I come to find out from the reaping the benefits, if you will, of that change, exactly how unclear I can be sometimes in my explanations. And so that's something that I'm personally working on. So if you didn't find anything you felt was eye-opening or revealing, then you already knew about the areas that were strengths and areas that you wanted to focus on. So then here comes my next question. What's next? So now that you've pondered on and evaluated your school's culture, you've probably found a thing or two that might be easily changed or added to improve your school's culture. So even if you have a few ideas in mind, before you start filling out the second part of the Principal TLC Organizer, let's talk about some quick and simple solutions to help you improve your school culture. So I want to share some things that we've done at our school that would be beneficial, or that we have found to be beneficial and may work for your school. Okay, so if not, let's talk about a couple of these ideas that are easy to implement. So if you don't know what you want to change, that's fine. I'm going to give you some suggestions. If you already know what you want to change, I'm still going to offer these suggestions because they may take priority of something you were thinking about. So let's apply the C, that principal TLC, that culture, in the following ways. First of all, teacher recognition. Whether it's just a simple note on a desk stating the good things that you are noticing or a formal faculty meeting praising, this will go miles to strengthen the culture of your school. When teachers feel appreciated and supported, they tend to work harder than ever to better support their students. So it really comes back to the students. It's not, I'm going to praise them so they'll listen to all the things I want them to do. But when they know they're being noticed and appreciated for their hard work, they actually will continue to work that harder for those students. I noticed that this year as I started leaving notes on teachers' desks systematically, looking for good things that they did in their classrooms each day. And I didn't give one to every student every day, or a teacher every day, don't think that. But systematically went through and made sure every teacher was recognized consistently. It made a huge change in the building. The second thing you could do is implement school-wide policies that provide for order during school hours. That might seem like a simple thing, and you're probably thinking, "Duh, John, we all have that." I disagree. I've been in schools where there has not been school-wide rules in place. Each teacher had rules, but when it came to the school-wide discipline, there wasn't really a plan in place. And that is huge when you don't have one of those students running up and down halls. They get mixed signals from teachers because some teachers allow things and other teachers don't. Schools need to be on the same page, and everybody should be allowed to discipline or work with every other person's student. So it's not, that's not my student, I don't care. That's, this is our school and we don't do that here. Or we, good job, we appreciate the way you're being a good example. The third thing you can look at is physical changes and upgrades to your building. Something as simple as updating some or all of the faculty room furniture. Bring in a new couch, bring in a chair. Bring in something that the teachers noticed that you went out of your way to help improve their area of the school. Adding some new artwork or surprising a teacher or two with a needed piece of equipment. This last year, I was in a classroom watching my first grade teacher teach, and she was using a rolling whiteboard system that seriously was falling apart. When she'd write on it, the board almost would fall apart. I didn't ask her if she needed a new piece of equipment. I brought her a catalog and said, choose one of these four whiteboards for your classroom because you need it. Made her whole day. It was awesome. And we had funding set aside for some new little pieces of furniture like that. It didn't cost a whole lot, but it made a huge difference to her. Another teacher, I went in their room and watched. They were using whiteboard markers, but they were all drying out. And so the students could hardly see what they were writing, and the teacher couldn't hardly see what they were writing. It wasn't effective. So I had my secretary order in a whole bunch of whiteboard markers for that class. And I got to go in and present it to them and tell them how much I appreciated their hard work. It was huge. It was a huge positive experience for the students, the teacher, and the school, and it just made all the kids feel good about being there, knowing they were being watched over and cared for. You can also do faculty socials and events if we're looking at how to help teachers. Host a luncheon or a snack day with your faculty. At the end of each quarter, my wife and I host a luncheon for the teachers that we provide on our own. We don't use school funds for that. We bring in the food and we invite the faculty and staff to come in, and it's one of the few times during the year that we can get the whole faculty and staff together to sit down and socialize and visit, and it's awesome. It's a very successful thing. Once a year is not going to cut it, sorry. Once a year is not going to show that you care. And once a week is far, far too much, in my opinion, to be doing that. It becomes, then it's expected. So just randomly, like I find really random days like National Hot Chocolate Day that I'll surprise the teachers with donuts and hot chocolate, or just what they never know. So there's all sorts of crazy holidays out there, and it's fun. So go ahead and look for those holidays and surprise them. And the spontaneity keeps it fun and prevents an expectation from developing. Well, I know the principal's going to feed us every Wednesday, so I'm just going to be prepared for that. And then, you know, you don't want them to come grab the food and leave. The goal is to get them to socialize. The last thing you can do is student recognition. And if you aren't currently doing a student of the week or something similar, you need to start now. You need to start highlighting students that are being successful, and don't always base it on high achievers. So don't always look for the kids who always turn in their homework or the kids who always get 100% on everything, because that sends a very straight signal or clear signal to the kids who are struggling that they're never going to be good enough to be acknowledged. So find ways to acknowledge all students in your school. again, doesn't always have to be the high achievers, and parents love to see students recognized. And so you're also building the culture of the school within the community and those parents in a very positive and uplifting way, and it's awesome. So speaking of positive student recognition, at my school, I've also started doing positive office referrals, and I can't tell you how awesome this is. In fact, other schools in the area have started picking those up and using them as well. You read that right, positive office referrals. Students only ever came to see me in my office when they were in trouble. I didn't like that. I didn't like the feeling that that created, the relationship with the students. When they saw me coming, they started wondering if they were in trouble. I didn't like that, being perceived that way, because that's not my ultimate role in the school, is to, you know, be the disciplinarian. So what I did is I wanted students to know that they were welcome for good reasons too. So I created some positive office referral forms, and my faculty and staff fill these out and give them to me. So they don't give them to the student. They fill them out and give them to me. And then I go down to the classroom and I pull the student out of class. And the students never know if they're in trouble or not, but they've come to assume they're not in trouble just because we have fewer discipline issues in our school because of those other things I shared above a little earlier. We do all those things. And so we have way fewer office referrals than we have in the past. And so I bring it to my office and I go over the form with them. I praise them. I tell them how awesome it is. They get a blow pop because they blew me away with their good behavior. Give them a high five. They leave the office smiling. On the bottom of that form is a space for me to write what I appreciate about that student. I write on it. I make a photocopy to give back to the teacher so they can document that in their files, that, you know, student documentation of positive interaction with students. And then I actually take the original and we mail it home. We physically mail it home through the mail with a stamp. I know that's hard to believe because nowadays we don't do that much. But we actually mail that home to the parents so the parents can celebrate with their students a reason for something that happened at school that was positive. It is making a huge difference in our school system that these parents are getting letters about their students who in the past may have been the trouble students. And you know what? Sometimes the kids who get a positive office referral, a week later they might be in my office because they're in trouble. But I'll tell you what, the difference is that when they come in because they're in trouble, they know I care about them because they've already been there in a positive way. And they know I'm not just picking on them or being mean, but there really is an issue that we need to work through. And I've had a lot more success working with those students. And these forms, you can make your own. They're not hard to do. Or if you want, you can buy them from my Teachers Pay Teacher store. They're already made. I have 8 forms right there ready to go already. There's some for lower grades and upper grades. There's some that are more middle schoolish, and some that are, you know, just they don't have the graphics on them. They're just more of a frame with the text. So there's kind of something there for every level from, I would say, K to 8 could probably use these forms easily. And they're in my Teachers Pay Teacher store. And the link's right here in my post. So you're welcome to click on there and click on over and pick those up, or you're welcome to make your own, whatever. But make an effort to positively identify students and bring them into your office for good things. So now you might be thinking, John, what you're saying sounds like school morale, not culture. I don't really see the connection here. And my response to that is, my dear friends, morale is part of school culture. Like I said, there's going to be multiple posts on culture because culture isn't just one thing. Remember, if we go to the definitions, I want to share that definition again because it's all the little pieces. It's attitudes, beliefs, traditions, and actions that which are foundational in the school system and also create feelings of being supported and successful. So you're right, morale and culture could be kind of interchangeable, but I think morale is part of the culture. I don't think morale is culture. And if you're starting, you know, if you start doing these morale boosters, if you want to call it that, and keep it up, it becomes part of the culture that teachers are recognized. It becomes the norm for students to be called to the principal's office for positive experiences and acknowledgement. It becomes commonplace for parents to enter the building and sense that there is order and control. It becomes the culture of the school to be recognized as a positive and uplifting place to work and learn. And that is what you want to have said and thought about your school, people. You want people to say, that is a positive and uplifting place for people to work and for my students to learn. How do I know this? I know this because I started a huge cultural shift at my school when I was hired as the full-time administrator there. This is my third year as the principal of my amazing small rural school. We have experienced a shift of amazing magnitude. I'm not kidding. And we keep moving in a positive direction. I could list the, you know, I could go over and list the many of the other changes, but this isn't about bragging. And that is so not part of my nature, by the way, to brag like that. Was it my amazing leadership? Absolutely not. It was a school and faculty that were aching for a change, and I was in a position to help make it possible. It was finally allowed to happen. And by that, I mean someone that was there in control, allowed the changes that needed to happen to happen. And you, yes, you, I want you to realize that sitting there listening to this article, listening to this read of this article, you can make a change in your school culture just like I did. I won't say it was easy because change is hard. It's really, really hard, but it is possible. So what are you waiting for? Get that second page filled out and set yourself some amazing goals and get to work. And what I want to do right now before I end this is I'm going to read that second page so you can be thinking about what it is that you would be looking at to improve your school culture. So the first question on this page right here is, what is one change that you will make to improve your school's culture? And it might be a rule, it might be a way meetings are run, it could be parent involvement, physical improvements to the building or classrooms, teacher recognition, there's tons of things. And then why do you want to make that particular change? You'll need to explain that. How will this change affect the following groups of people? How's it going to affect the parents? How's it going to affect the teachers? How is it going to affect those students? Below then you're going to list the three steps you'll take to implement this change. And this is a fast action. We talk about, you know, actionable work here. So step one, what are you going to do tomorrow to start making the change? You have to think of a step. Step two, what are you going to do a week from now to ensure that the change is still in place and going on? What ongoing learning are you going to do? And then step three is the goal for 2 weeks from tomorrow, because that's when you'll start, or 2 weeks from today. What are you going to do to follow up and make sure that that change is still being implemented and in process? Then you need to think about what information will you need to share with stakeholders to get buy-in. It's so important that you share why you're making the change. Don't say, I read this article on created by Mr. Hughes and he said to do this. Don't do that. Talk and think about why is this important to you and your school, and then go ahead and make that change. That's what you need to do. And then you need to list the date that you will share this information with your stakeholders. Make yourself set a date. If you don't, you'll never share it with them. And then you need to think of how will you know if your change is showing positive results? What will be your top three indicators for you to step back and say, yes, this is working in my school. I can see this, this, and this. Or if you don't see those three indicators, you need to step back and say, okay, not where I wanted to be right now. What do I need to tweak or change or fix? And then get moving again in the direction I want to go with changing my school culture. I challenge you to get started on that. Leadership is a hard thing to be in. I didn't believe that it would be this hard until I left teaching to become an administrator. I love being a principal. I love being able to work with teachers and improve culture. And I really actually appreciate the opportunity to work with and network with other administrators such as yourself. So appreciate you listening to this, I guess you could almost call it a podcast, but this reading of this article with a bunch of extra information added in that's not even in the text of the article. And be looking for the video that's also included in this. I'm going to be doing a video as well that you'll be able to watch, and I'll show you some of the forms and some of the things that I've also done to help with school culture. And I look forward to working with you more in the future. Thanks for stopping by, and you have an awesome day. And don't forget, get started on those culture changes.